You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Auckland Council has unveiled their long-term housing development proposition in the form of Plan Change 120, which is now open for public submissions until December 19. Key focuses include intensifying housing density in high infrastructure areas. This week, Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei also welcomed the world's largest Indigenous education conference to Tāmaki Makaurau, bringing over 3,800 visitors. Accompanying the conference is Te Ao Pūtahi, a free public festival showcasing Indigenous artistry that is happening in Aotea Square until 7pm tonight. This morning, I spoke to Julie Ferry about both of these topics. Kia ora, Julie. Looking at Plan Change 120, what role does it play in Auckland's housing future?
Basically, Plan Change 120 is the new rule book that will apply to housing in Auckland. It applies to other things too, but it's primarily about housing. And what it will lay out is what you can build and where you can build it, what the rules are that apply basically to each piece of residential land, where there is residential land, where there's business land, that kind of stuff. So it is a really big deal, and it is mapping out the future of what housing in our city looks like. But one thing to know is that none of that happens overnight, and we've still got another probably 18 months of process to go through before it's signed off. And even when it does, it's about what people are allowed to do with the land, not what they have to do with the land. And so what we'll see is it unfolding over the next 30 years. We won't see the sudden change in the landscape and cityscape that we all know.
There are some concerns from the public about pacing infrastructure growth with housing intensification as these things may change. And as you say, it is a longer term process as well. How does council seek to balance these?
So one of the big things is that the areas that have more housing proposed for them are also the areas where we know that we have the infrastructure capacity. So there has in the past been more building on the outskirts, and when we build further out from the city centre, that actually requires a lot more infrastructure, and also that infrastructure is more expensive. We have to build new, and we have to build, literally longer pipes, longer roads, right? Whereas what the proposal does for the most part is actually proposes more housing to be where we already know that we have the infrastructure. The big constraint for the central isthmus area, so that sort of city fringe and the inner suburbs, historically in the last sort of 10, 15 years, the big infrastructure constraint has been public transport. And with the City Rail Link coming online sometime next year, that resolves the public transport infrastructure deficit. We know from Watercare, who do the wastewater and the drinking water, that those areas have enough wastewater and drinking water capacity to add a lot more. We do have some stormwater issues, so that's dealing with flooding. And there are particular parts that are sort of carved out where we know we've got stormwater issues for less intense housing as well. So that's being taken into account. We know from Vector that there's enough electricity. We know that we've got enough of the other utilities that council doesn't control, like fibre and phone connections and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of, we don't really do phone connections anymore, but you know what I mean. The one thing that isn't taken into account is provision for health and education. Those are central government responsibilities, and they react to the housing growth that we put in and predict. So there's a lot of conversations about making sure central government has their part ready for in the health and education space, and that's ongoing. But again, because it will roll out quite slowly over time, there's opportunity to work on that and make sure that those things are ready to go when they need to be, hopefully. But a lot of that does sit with central government.
Earlier this week, Tāmaki hosted the World Indigenous Peoples Conference on Education, which is a really awesome thing for us to be able to house as a city. And alongside this, there's also been the Te Ao Pūtahi Festival hosted up in Aotea Square, spotlighting a lot of international cultures. What are your thoughts on Tāmaki hosting this week?
I just think it's magic. I really do. It's been amazing being in the city centre this week and seeing people walk around proudly in clothes that reflect their Indigenous culture from where they've come. And it's been a really interesting mix because we've had a lot of Metallica fans in town as well. And so the Metallica t-shirts and the black jeans and the particular type of hat that I've seen a lot of Metallica fans wearing, it's been a beautiful juxtaposition. And it's been, I think, you know, these kinds of events are just beautiful for Tamaki Makaurau. It's a way for us to honour our Indigenous people ourselves, but also showcase to the world how far we have come in acknowledging tangata whenua, and also challenge us about how far we have still to go. And so I just think it's wonderful. I'm really proud that we've been hosting, and more of this, please, basically, yeah.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry on Plan Change 120 for Auckland Housing and the arts and culture happening in Tamaki this week.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.